Especially
Hi, folks. It's Jeff Sachs here with our last shiur before Pesach. I wanted to say something about Pesach, and then something about what we've been learning, and then we're going to have a 2-week break. Next Tuesday night is, of course, Bedikat Chametz, and the week after is Pesach itself, and we'll pick up the Tuesday after Pesach. Right? Am I saying that right? Right. Last day Yontif for us is on what? On Thursday?
No. Wednesday.
Wednesday. Right. So Tuesday night is Yontif. Tuesday night is Chag. So, right. So, anyway, so there'll be 2 weeks for that shiur. And then I apologize. After Pesach. I'm not good with keeping dates in my head. And then after Pesach, the schedule is going to get a little spotty, because I have a bunch of travel coming up, but we'll let you know. But that Tuesday after Pesach, there'll definitely be a shiur. Bli neder, definitely. I want to go back to something. I made reference to it last week. L'chaim, al mitzvah bir chametz. Oh, Cecil, nice to see you again. The Gemara sources, after much debate, the Gemara sources, Bior Chametz, one little shot of whiskey. The Gemara sources, Shlichut, in Pesach. Oh my goodness. Those of you online, you see, it's an embarrassment of riches. We've got three bottles of whiskey.
This is kind of crumbled, but anyway.
What is that, shawarma? No. Oh, it's babka.
Very well with that.
So the Gemara sources shlichut, the idea that there is such a thing as shlichut to Korban Pesach. Because by definition, a korban is done in partnership with other people. There'd be minui. You would be appointed onto one animal. And since everybody has to have a kezayit, an olive's worth of meat, but no normal person can eat the whole goat, the whole lamb, so you would make a calculation. David sent information on today. There'd be an app that would you, right? How many people you have? How many people? How many men? How many women? Assuming that people don't eat the same. How many people? You know, younger people. How many older people? Right? You know, this is a person who eats a big portion. This is a person. This is a person who wants a big kazayat. This is a person who wants a little kazayat. And how many ounces or how many kilo your lamb has to be in order to work it all out? But they probably were able to do this calculation on the back of a pot chard back then without an app. However, not everybody shechts the korban. But do you remember how it worked? You would do this minui. You would be appointed. You would be, not appointed, you would do this. You would subscribe. You would be registered. You'd be subscribed onto your korban. And on the afternoon of Erev Pesach, meaning a week from today, Wednesday, in the afternoon, everybody would shech the Korban Pesach, and in the evening, together with Hatzot Olam, and you'd do the same, the Magid, and that was Leila Seder. However, not everybody, even though everybody has to eat the Korban Pesach, not everybody would shech the Korban Pesach. They just can't do it. So you appoint one person to shech the korban on your behalf. He is your shaliach. And that is the source that there is such a thing. This kind of somewhat bizarre theoretical idea that obviously there's a finite number of kezetim in even the biggest goat. But nevertheless, for the purposes of the mitzvah of shechitat korban Pesach, sacrificing the one, which is a mitzvah independent of eating the Korban Pesach. These are two separate mitzvot. All of the Jewish people could be registered on one little lamb to shecht it. And everybody's yotzei the mitzvah of shechitat Korban Pesach. Now, this idea that some people have in this renewed Sanhedrin and these people that want to shecht the Korban Pesach today, that's a separate topic. Can the Korban Pesach be shed today? Historically, it was continued after Korban Abayim. There's been this attempt to resurrect it. And every year you hear about some people that are going off but trying to be under the radar. Harder to do these days, to shecht the Korban Pesach. But the Tumah is Hutra, so then you have a way out of it. So those people, the people that really believe that today you can bring the Korban Pesach, I mean, if you're interested in this topic, one Google search, you'll find plenty of information, both pro and con.
You find that coming, it's looking for you after you did my close search.
No, it's okay. The authorities that are now in charge of policing our every keystroke are in favor of bringing the Korban Pesach. Yeah.
We're talking about it now. Each one is listed.
Yeah, yes. We don't mean it.
You probably going to find advertisement.
So those people who believe that today, I mean, Korban Pesach, what they should do is they should have a national campaign. They should get everybody to sign on. Everybody gives a pruta, right? Or better yet, since we're in charge of the government, since we're in charge of Tsar, the Otsar can take our taxes, which we've paid, and they can apportion money that everybody's already paid anyway, or they can be mezake everybody a pruta, and the whole Jewish people can fulfill the Korban Pesach. Right, we're not going to be able to eat it, but at least. So the Gemara has this idea as a theoretical, which I'm speculating that in our day and age, since there are no problems to worry about in the state of Israel, this is something, an initiative that somebody might undertake. So this idea of all of the Jewish people, which is the Gemara, and one goat, is an interesting idea, right? I mentioned it last week. We learned it a couple of weeks ago. Well, you're gone. Can we get to your bottle? No, but can we continue drinking?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's interesting, of course, this is an idea which I found in, there's a book called the Sif Echadim. It's a book on the Chagim written by Rav Chaim Friedlander, who's somehow connected to the Ponovitch Yeshiva. So he says the following. The first mitzvah that was given to the entire nation, meaning that each and every person had to do, of course, the first mitzvah that's given is what? HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. But that was not something that everybody was actually involved in, right? As it was something that was given to Moshe and Aaron, it was given to the Betin, the Sanhedrin ultimately is in charge of it. In theory, your only involvement in it is, if you happen to see the moon, you could go to Yerushalayim and you could give the testimony. But probably in reality, very few people, actually ever, a very small percentage of the Jewish people ever had anything to do with this particular mitzvah. They were probably many people who lived too far away or whatever it was, you know, or they didn't look up in the sky at night or they weren't motivated to go or whatever it is. Probably very few people were involved. I'm sorry, Tom's not here. Tom would have surely been one of those people being in a strong. But the first thing to the whole worst responsibility to be involved is Korban Pesach. And Korban Pesach has two different aspects to it. This is what Rav Friedlander says, although it's an idea that other people also mention. So the Korban Pesach is a weird combination of Korbanot. Generally speaking, Korbanot are Korbanot Tzibur, communal offerings, like the daily sacrifice like the musaf that we offer on Shabbat and Chag, right? A korban which is offered in Beit HaMikdash on behalf of the nation of Israel, right? The entirety of the Jewish people. But I personally don't have a direct involvement in it, besides maybe giving my chatzi shekel each year, which is, you know, a kind of gift that's given in order to connect me to the financing of that project. But I sit at home, whether I live in Yerushalayim or I live in the Galil, right? And those korbanot are being offered in the Mikdash on my behalf. And then there's a korban yochid. God forbid I do a sin. I have to bring a korban. What? In this week's parsha, right? A chatat and ashem, depending upon the sin. Something good happens to me, I might volunteer to bring a korban todah, right? A Thanksgiving offering. That's on me. That's a private obligation or a private offering. The korban pesach is a shatnis. It's a combination of the two. On one hand, the korban pesach, each and every individual is obligated to be involved in the shechting of the korban, either himself or through a shaliach, and the eating of the korban, which obviously cannot be done through a shaliach. On the other hand, the eating of the korban pesach is done dafka in a chabura. One person cannot bring the korban pesach himself. Even he's the fattest, most hungry guy in the world, he can't do it. Because he can't eat the whole thing by himself. And you can't lechatchila shecht something. You can't, not lechatchila, you can't even be the eved shecht something, right? Knowing that you're not going to finish it. That's the isser of notar. You're not allowed to create a situation in which the kodshim, the holy meat, is being left over. And since you can't eat from it unless you were registered on it in advance, it's something that has to be done together. Lahavdil, like magid. In other words, it's the meal. This is the meat. It's the main course of a meal which is designed to be eaten together. And even though 3 years ago, during that first COVID, we all of us encountered, hopefully not personally, but we all encountered this phenomena that there were people all alone. Right? Our mother-in-law, 80-something years old, for the first time in her life because of COVID and the lockdown, was all by herself on Leil HaSeder. Right? Often it was the older people. Right? Often it was the older people that were all alone. And even if it's an older couple, grandma and grandpa, Saba and Safta, right? Even that was unusual, you know, to just be alone, just a couple. Like, what's the smallest Seder you've ever been at? That year. No, aside from that year. What's the smallest Seder you've ever been to?
Five.
Yeah. That year, it was just the six of us. It was the smallest Seder that I'd have had. It was six people, right? But us and our four kids, right? But besides that year, on a normal year, you, like I just said, I was just telling the story about it was the 120 people in Russia. And anybody who's ever been to a hotel, God bless you. You're there in the communal state in the hotel, hundreds of people. So why? In Kathmandu, right. The Chabad runs these big. So because the Seder is not just a communal meal, in the sense of the community of like the nuclear family and hangers-on and friends and larger extended family, right? But it's a meal that requires that because the meal is designed to be eaten together and the conversation is dictated together. Right? Over this meal, you talk about Sipri Yetziat Mitzrayim. And Sipri Yetziat Mitzrayim has to be dialogical. Dialogical, a dialogue, right? People in conversation, ideally intergenerationally, from parents to children, but sometimes that expires because the children go off to the in-laws. So if your children aren't there, that's what the Gemara says, right? Beno sho'alo, your son asks you, your children ask you. If your children either can't ask or don't ask or are away, or there are no children, so your wife asks you, your husband asks you, your friend asks you, someone asks you. And even kulano chachamim, kulano nevonim, kulano yodim et adin, even if nobody has to ask me because I already know all the, I know all the questions and I know all the answers and I know that you know all the questions, you know all the answers. We don't even need to talk, right? We could just like think to ourselves, it doesn't work. You have to ask each other. Right.
There's usually a halacha that says that the person is having a seder by himself. He asks himself.
And the Gemara then entered. The Gemara foresaw the COVID lockdown and said, if you're all by yourself, I mean, I'm sure that I had learned that Gemara beforehand and imagined, wow, you know, the Gemara can think of crazy cases. The Gemara can think of flying elephants and all types of other things. What a crazy case. What a purely hypothetical case of somebody having a seder all by himself. The Gemara anticipated COVID, Pesach 2020. So what do you do if you're all by yourself? You talk to yourself. You go schizophrenic for one night, right? And you have a conversation with yourself, right? You ask yourself the question. You answer the question. It wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough to read the Haggadah, to sight read the Haggadah to yourself, right? You have to have this kind of conversation with yourself. But everybody understands that that is only b'di'evit. What I just said now, that's my thoughts, not this Rabbi Friedlander. But Rabbi Friedlander goes on and says that the Suda, the Pesach, is done in a chavura. So on one hand, the Korban Pesach is a Korban Yochid, because each person is obligated in it. And that is where we learn out Shlichut, since everybody has to do it. But obviously not everyone is capable of shechting the korban himself or herself, so you can appoint a shaliach to do the shechita, to do the ritual slaughtering.
It doesn't have to be part of your
chavura. The person does not. The shochet does not have to be a part of your chavura. Right. And that's how we learn. That is the source of the din shlucho shel adam kemoto, that a person's shaliach is his representative, is his agent, is an extension of himself. But on the other hand, Chazal learned that, and that's where we learn out. By the way, that's where we learn out that that's where we learn out this idea, hypothetical though it may be, that all of the Jewish people can be yotze with one Korban Pesach, right? Because everybody could make. The whole Jewish people could assign one person to be the shaliach to check this thing. And if everybody is signed on, registered on this one korban, they'd be yotze the shechita, even if, though they wouldn't be yotze the eating.
Can that shaliach, which you've appointed to shech the korban Pesach, can be appointed by many
kibbutz? He can do many shechitot. Yeah, better.
The representative who's representing the chabura.
Yeah.
What role does he play actually in that?
What do you mean, the representative? The shochet?
You have a chabura.
Yeah.
Does somebody come to the Beit Mikdash to represent everybody else in the chabura? Or is that not necessary?
The person
is... Yeah, the person, in other words, in the normal times when there are thousands of chaburot, tens of thousands of chaburot. So you didn't all have to go to the shochet, to the kohen, to whoever was shechting, right? One person could bring him on behalf of the chabura. And, say, no, you can't be in multiple chaburas, because if you're on a chabura, you have to eat from the korban.
Can one person lead a whole flock of goats from different chaburot?
I guess, in other words, different chaburot could make one person the shaliach to bring the goats to the shechita. Yeah, but his job, that is, he has to be very careful not to mix it. It's like, you know, like 10 bis. You ever order from 10 bis or Walt to these places? You know, has ever happened to you that you get the wrong order? Right? Because he's got in the back of his tustus, in that little box, he's got a lot of different orders. So this happened. I've only ordered twice from Walt in the office. So they came to the door and he got to the door and he said, oh, wrong one. And he ran back to the tustus and he switched the bag and gave me the sandwich I ordered. So since it's not fungible, if you're on this goat and you're on that goat, what difference does it make? Everybody gets the same slice of meat. No, you have to eat the meat from the goat that you were assigned to.
It's probably going to be a sticker with a barcode.
Maybe a barcode. Yes, it'll be all organized. Right. So even though the Korban Pesach is, and from this we learn out the idea that everybody in theory could be all on one. So this, because there's this weird combination. Korban Pesach is a Korban Yachid, but it has certain aspects of a Korban Sibur, this communal aspect to it, this communal notion to it, and also the idea that it is Doche Shabbos. Normally, Karbanot Yachid can only be offered on a weekday, right? You can't bring an individual sacrifice on Shabbat, right? The Malachot in the Beit HaMikdash, that, right, knows how do you shecht an animal? They offer the Korban Musaf, they offer the Korban Tamid on Shabbat in the Mikdash. But aren't those things, isn't it, Aser? You can't shecht an animal on Shabbos.
Or cook one.
Right? But in the Mikdash, you're allowed. That's what we learn out. Where do we learn this out? In Parshat Vayakel. Yeah. Well, yeah. In other words, there were all types of things that were. What about singing?
Yeah. Musical instruments.
Oh, yeah. On Shabbat. Yeah. Yeah. No, there were all types of. Well, musical instruments is easier because that's a Dirabanan. Right? So the Dirabanans are Mutar, something else. But. But Korban Pesach, which is a Korban Yochid, right? If Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, like you were just saying, you shecht the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. Isn't that coming up again? That Erev Pesach on Shabbos? No, it's not, obviously not this year.
You said last week that it's next year.
I thought somebody would check in between. I'm used to being fact-checked in real time, right? And also the idea of Tuma Putra Betzibur, right? So if you are Tamei, you can't bring a Korban Yochid, right? And nowadays, we're all Tameim. But Tuma Hutra Betzibur, when the whole Jewish people are Tamei, when you have no choice, so then that overrides the needs to bring Korbanot Tzibur. No, I'm sorry, the need to bring Korbanot Tzibur overrides the Tuma. Strike that, reverse it, right? So even though we have Pesach Sheni, and if you're Tamei on Erev Pesach and you can't bring the Korban, you do it on Pesach Sheni. In 2 years. In 2 years, we'll have 2025, we'll have Erev Pesach on. Oh, good. It'll be your turn to make the Seder again. It'll be your turn to make the Seder again. So for Korban Pesach, we say Tumah Hutra Betzibur. So in some ways it's a Korban Tzibur, in some ways it's a Korban Yachid. The idea that there's an individual, and the idea that there's a community, and that every individual is part of a community, but that the community is somehow greater than the sum of its parts. Comes somehow out of the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified each and every individual. That each and every individual has sanctity, each and every individual has something that's unique. But at the same time, there are mitzvot that apply to the body of Israel, to the nation. That there are certain things that the nation as a whole can do, that individuals cannot. There must be an obvious tie-in to what's going on in the country at the moment, but I don't want to be kitschy. But there's something to be said about that, about what's going on at this particular moment in Israel.
So
the idea of the individual, the idea of each person taking individual responsibility, the idea wherever you stand on either side of this fracas, right? The idea of the individual or collectives of individuals, right? In other words, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, but it's not just that. But in other words, the Medina is a collective, right? The state is a collective by definition, right? Citizens are individuals. And even if 100,000 citizens go out pro, or 100,000 citizens go out con, right, and they stand on opposite sides of the street, they are individuals. They're collectives of 100,000 individuals. Right? But nevertheless, the individual has power. Right? Mm-hmm. This is how democracy works. This is how elections work. This is how
has power in his words.
Has power, has rights, etc. And again, I'm not coming down on what I don't want to talk about politics, but in other words, no. the 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 what we've been seeing this past few weeks is, you know, are these things playing out, although not always in the best of ways. I want to go back to just say some things about what the sugya that we were talking about. We won't look at the Gemara itself, but I want to talk about this idea of shaliach ledvar avera. Right? Mm. In other words, there are limits to shlichut. Right? You can't make a shaliach for everything. And beyond the obvious, I can't make you a shaliach to eat my matzah. Right? Either I can eat matzah or I can't eat matzah. Right? And it doesn't matter how much matzah you can eat. Right? But I can't, there's certain things you have to do for yourself. But things for which you can appoint a shaliach, one of the limitations is ein shaliach ledvar avera. I cannot appoint a shaliach to transgress. But now, what does that mean? Does that mean when I appoint you a shaliach to do an avera, the shlichut is not chal? Right? Meaning it doesn't count. There's no. It's a meaningless act. Right? It's a meaningless. Yeah, it's a meaningless act. And if you go and do that, that's on you. Right? And so is it a statement about the idea that shlichut doesn't work? Or does it mean that, no, you're my shaliach, but it's just a question of where do we assign the blame? In other words, if I tell you...
If there's no blame, what's the
from a moral perspective.
Or from the...
Or whether or not an act was or was not performed, right?
I'm missing you on that.
Like a Kohen could send something to Mekadesh Agusha.
Right. We talked about it. No, I'm sorry. If a Kohen is Mekadesh Agusha, if a Kohen marries a divorcee, he's forbidden to marry a divorcee.
Right. He can't live with her, but the condition is chal.
But if he does, they are married. And it was usher to be Mekadesh, sure, and it's probably usher for them to live together, or certainly every time they have marital relations.
And if he was Mekadesh by way of a shaliach.
So if he's Mekadesh by way of a shaliach, so do we say, ein shaliach dvar avera, it's meaningless. And when the shaliach goes and gives her the ring and says, Harei at mekudeshet lo, you are married to him, it's a meaningless act, and there is no kiddushin. Or do we say, ein shliach l'dvar avera. The shliach should not do this, right? Because it's a dvar avera, right? But I just turned this off, didn't I? But when he does it, the avera is not on him, on the shliach. He shouldn't have done it. He shouldn't have accepted the job. But the avera is on the mishaleach. So our Gemara introduced
in this case. Maybe, but not everything. Yeah,
not in the case of robbing a house.
Not robbing a house. You say the shaliach who robbed the house. So.
It's like a question of a person you shouldn't do. There are some cases where there is no marriage, and some cases where you're married, but you shouldn't be married, right? So here also, the question is there no shlichus in this case, or he shouldn't have signed
the shaliach? Yeah, the marriage is a legal marriage. He still needs to get.
Yes.
We encourage not to. So the marriage is legal on one aspect. Discouraged.
No,
because in other words, the question it's not just that it's discouraged. A marriage of a Kohen and Grusha, yeah, it's not just discouraged. It constitutes an Avera. Right? It constitutes an Avera. So do we say, since if the Kohen had done it himself, if the Kohen had married the Grusha, the divorcee himself, they're married. They violated a prohibition. But if the Kohen, the same Kohen, instead sends a Shaliach, is there kedushin or isn't there kedushin?
No, because you said.
So either you say ein shaliach l'dvar avera. He couldn't. It's a meaningless appointment, right?
Yeah.
He can't appoint. He can't appoint he can't appoint the shaliach to do it. So when the shaliach does it, it's meaningless. Even had the kohen done it himself, it would have been a halachically binding marriage, although one that counts as an issur. Or do we say ein shaliach l'dvar avera? He shouldn't have appointed the shaliach. He shouldn't have married this. He shouldn't have wanted to marry this woman. He shouldn't have appointed a shliach. The shliach shouldn't have gone. But if the shliach goes, they are married. But the avera is on the mishaleach, the sender. It's his responsibility. He shouldn't have sent the shliach. The Gemara, you understand the difference? Our Gemara introduces two exceptions. What's a different situation? What's a different situation? Different than what? Different than what?
Robbing a house.
Yeah, why?
It's still the Kohen. He's doing the Avera. The Shaliach is not in the end in any Avera.
Is the Masek a Dushani Avera?
Both.
The third actually walked the house is doing the Avera.
Okay, but if we say shlucho shel adam kemoto, we say shlucho shel adam kemoto. He's not a person; he's a robot. If I send a drone in Mission Impossible style to steal the diamond, who's responsible? Me or the drone? Me. The shaliach is just a drone. He's just a robot. Once he accepts the shlichut, he is just a robot. When the shaliach is mekadesh the woman, who's being mekadesh the woman? The husband, the kohen, or whomever he is. Otherwise, the woman would be married to the shaliach.
But right? But if you're saying in the shikut, so it's not chal. You're saying it's not chal.
I'm saying that there are two possible ways to right. Either it's not chal at all because it's not chal. And if one possibility is that the marriage never comes into being. Not because of something wrong with the marriage, but because there's something wrong with the shlichut.
What? I think what they're trying to say is that there's the difference between the case of robbing the house and the difference between the case of a coin by a shliach for the kadesh isha is that in the case of the coin, in this hypothetical situation where the shlichut doesn't work because it's an avera, then nothing happens. But the house is robbed. Something happens. So then you can't avoid it. Maybe you have to talk about who's
so the question for. Is the idea of Ein Shaliach L'Dvar Aveira a rule, a din in Shlichut, or is it a principle that's teaching us something about who gets the blame? Right? So that's the nafkamini between the two cases. Our Gemara introduces two exceptions. Two cases where we say yesh shaliach l'dvar avira. After the first case, the Gemara says, "Wait a second. If we have a case, if we have a proof that yesh shaliach l'dvar, you can appoint a shaliach, and it creates the shlichut, right? So then, why don't we say that's the rule, right? So the Gemara says no, because there's another case of yesh shaliach l'dvar avira. This is where we ended last week." And when you have one exceptional case, that case can become the rule, that can become the principle through which we extrapolate to the rest of the Torah. Right? And that becomes the rule, although there might be exceptions to the rule. Remember that I had that extended explanation about mitzvah aseshas man grama, which got a little long in the tooth, right? A case where there's a rule. Even though you might roll back the rule in more cases than you apply the rule, the underlying rule is the same. And then you have to look for an inclusionary principle that says this, we're going to take this out of the rule, right? The question is, what's the norm and what's the exception? Even though sometimes there are more exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara says, when you have two ketuvim, haboim kechad, when you have two exceptional cases, so that's to tell you that those two exceptional cases are the exception to the rule.
How do you know that they're exceptional cases?
Because they're the two cases that the Gemara establishes through a limud of psukim. That's where we ended last week. To tell you, yesh shaliach l'dvar avera in those two cases. And what are those two cases? One is mi'ila, misappropriating hekdesh funds. And the other is shlichut yad. If somebody gives you a mashkon, a security on an object to guard, a chifetz to be shomer on, so you have responsibilities to it. And if you make somebody a shaliach to do something that misuses this object to which you are entrusted to its well-being, so we say, yesh shaliach l'dvar avira. Right? Mi'ila, now how does mi'ila work? Mi'ila by definition is always b'shogeg. So if I have money which is hektish, it belongs to Beit HaMikdash, albeit it's still in my possession. and I give it to my shaliach to go down to the store and buy a quart of milk, was the case we were using last week. So the shaliach does, presumably, I don't know it's hekdesh, and the shaliach doesn't know it's hekdesh. And when the shaliach goes and buys the quart of milk, he does an avera. It's an avera b'shogeg, but it's an avera. Right? So we say, yesh shaliach l'dvar avera. That's on me. That's on the shaliach. Right? That's on the owner of the money. Right? So the Gemara says, so Tosfot says that there are two possibilities about how we think about this. Either when we say ein shaliach l'dvar avera, the shaliach's act works. It is chal. It does take effect. And according to the other opinion, it's meaningless, because the shaliach doesn't exist, because he could not have been appointed to. If I have hekdesh money, tomorrow I'm going to Beit HaMikdash, and I'm taking it to Beit HaMikdash, and you come into my house, and without my permission, figure I won't care. You're just going to borrow some of that money to go to the store, and you'll pay me back, because we're good friends. So that's not shlichut, right? That's not shlichut. But if I try to make you a shaliach to do something, so then, well, not in the case of me'ila, but let's say in the case of the kiddushin of the kohen to agrusha, so then it's meaningless.
But in the first case,
what?
In the first place, the shalom took your hekdesh money. So he's there twice.
That he did something wrong, but I'm not.
So he knew that what he was doing. Well, he didn't know it was for sure. Good.
But so he didn't know the second. No, you did not ask him to do it. No attempt at sleep.
So our Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Bava Kamma that says that if you cause damage to another person's property by sending fire with somebody who's an adult and who should know better, and etc., an adult of sound mind, so then I'm off the hook. Why? The sender's off the hook. Why? Because the adult is responsible, right? So the Gemara says that, our Gemara says that the Meshaleach should be responsible because Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoto. He's just my robot.
Well, I asked you last time, what exactly are you sending him to do? You're not sending him to light the field on fire. You're sending him to bring the fire to, whatever.
Yeah.
So drop the torch. It's not you're not responsible for that.
In other words, if I drop the torch.
The shlichut has to be actual thing. If you give it to a kid, you're being responsible.
Right.
Kids, let them drop the torch. If you give it to a responsible adult, he drops the torch. You didn't tell him to drop
the
torch.
No, but he's not an irresponsible. Once I make him a shaliach, he's not a responsible adult. Who is he? Oh. He's me. He's me. Shlucho Shel Adam
Kemoto.
Everything that he does. Everything that he does.
I give you money for tzedakah, and you, while you're on your way to give that tzedakah, go and kill somebody.
God forbid.
God forbid.
Yeah.
What? No. I'm responsible for the murder.
No. Probably. No. But anything that he, as if your shlichut is, I could take this torch and walk from here to there to deliver the fire, right? But instead I send you, you're my shaliach. And you drop it in somebody's field. So then the havamina of the Gemara is that's no different than if I had done it. Yeah. Because you are me. For all purposes related to this torch, you are me.
the same way, they can't be dvar aver. That's impossible. To say you're the shaliach responsible for the actions, fine. But to say it's not, you can't be considered a shaliach dvar aver because you're not telling the shaliach to do an aver. You're telling the shaliach to do a totally responsible thing.
Okay. Okay. But it's an aver to cause property damage.
You're making the damage. I would compare that to the case of where I made a shaliach to take the money and buy potatoes for me, and he buys tomatoes instead of potatoes.
Right.
Same thing. I told you to deliver the thing here. You delivered it somewhere else. You didn't perform the shlichut. You didn't do what I asked you to do.
Okay.
Once you didn't do what I asked you to do, the shlichut is non-existent. And any responsibility
that way, there's no avera in buying tomatoes instead of potatoes. It's an accident
or damages,
right?
To anybody else,
okay.
But causing damage is something that you're responsible
for. Agreed. But why should it be me? If he did something which I did not tell him to do, then he has not performed the shlichut.
When he accepts the shlichut, he accepts all of the reasonable responsibilities of a torchbearer that I myself have. If I'm holding a torch in my hand, I'm not just holding a torch, I'm holding responsibility, right? And when I pass it to you as my shaliach, I am passing over that responsibility to, don't drop it in a hayfield, okay?
Absolutely.
If you drop it in a hayfield by accident, I bear responsibility.
And if I did it on purpose?
Wait a minute. Yeah. You said you gave him, he has the responsibility.
I mean, he has my responsibility. I'm passing my responsibility over to him.
He doesn't bear it, though. You still do. That's what you said.
Exactly.
Because if he makes a mistake and sets somebody's field on fire, you say that the Mishalanta is.
Right. So that's the Havamina. So the Gemara says it can't be. But the question is, the halacha is that the sound, the adult of sound mind, who is my shaliach, who takes this. Let's make some order here. The halacha is, I send a shaliach with a torch. The shaliach, by accident, drops the torch in a hayfield. It's his responsibility.
Which, by the way, is not an avera.
No, it's not an avera, but there are financial responsibilities. Who's responsible, right? Who's responsible for the financial damages? Who's responsible for the avera, right? But the Gemara asks, as you're asking a question, the Havamina, which is rejected. But the Gemara asks, why should the shaliach be responsible to pay for the hayfield? Shlucho shel adam kemoto. The mishaliach should be responsible. So the Gemara answers that shlichut doesn't apply in that case. The shlichut doesn't cover all of those, every circumstance while he's on the clock. It's not the mishaliach is not responsible for every single thing the shaliach does. So
there's an example you can get from, like, the all those things, like in the borrower and the person who's hired to watch something. In all those cases, it's almost negligent. They're like responsible, right? So there's no reason to assume that shaliach somehow would not be responsible for negligent behavior in every other case, whether they're paying or borrowing or renting or whatever.
So this is the idea of ein shaliach ledvar avera. If I send someone to do something that they're not supposed to do, whether it's burning down the neighbor's hayfield.
On purpose.
On purpose or on accident. Yeah. Right?
No.
Well, listen.
Somebody to burn the field down by accident?
No. If I send a shaliach to do something, right? He is responsible to do what I tell him to do. But ein shaliach l'dvar avera, ein shaliach l'nizikin. Right? Well, in other words, I'm expanding the concept. Either nizikin, just listen, guys, just listen. The shaliach, even though we say shlucho shel adam kemoto, when he gives the ring to the woman, he's not marrying her. I'm marrying her.
Right? That was his shlichut.
Because that was his shlichut, and his shlichut is to be responsible for this torch. But if he demonstrates irresponsibility, that's on him. Just like, by the way, if I, not a case of Avera, but if I say, take this ring and go be Mekadesh Rochel, and instead, by accident, he gets confused, he's Mekadesh Leah. A woman, I'm equally permitted to marry either of them. It's meaningless. Because that wasn't his shlichus.
So it should be meaningless if he drops the
That's the halacha. The halacha is it's meaningless for me, the shaleach. It's meaningful for him, the mishaleach, the shaleach, because he's financially on the hook.
We're leaving it with the shaliach is responsible for the damages.
Yeah.
The halacha, again, let's be clear. The halacha is the shaliach drops the torch in the hayfield. The shaliach is responsible for the damages.
Not because of the
principle. Listen! But again, the Gemara asks, what about the principle of shlucho shel adam kemoto? We all agree that our drones, our robots, our vacuum cleaner robots are responsible, aren't they? You see, go on to the YouTube.
Right.
You have the YouTube?
Sure.
But at work, yeah. For Parnosa, everything's mutter. On the YouTube, you can see these funny home videos, you know, where the security cameras, you know, these robot vacuum cleaners, right? So they get into all types of trouble, right? You know, because they knock something over and it starts a fire and the house burns down, all types of things. And these are all captured on video. So the Gemara says, Shlucho shel adam kimoto. So what? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says the shaliach, the avera, or the damages belong to the shaliach and not to the sender. Why? Divrei harav v'divrei hatalmid divrei mishomi. This idea that obviously, you know, chacham eina barosho, right? Who are you supposed to listen to? Somebody tells you go do an avera, right? So should you say, okay, the Nazis just following orders? Or do you say, no, I have a higher, we answer to a higher authority, like the Hebrew National. We answer to a higher authority. You can't send me to do something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu said I'm not allowed to do.
Can you read this all from a Kal Vachomer?
Say again?
Say to a shliach, go burn down Tay's field.
What's it?
Okay.
Well, Hashem doesn't have a field.
And he goes and he does it. Who's responsible? Shaliach. Not the Mishaleach. Okay?
Yeah.
The case where he didn't go and do a shlichut. He was supposed to deliver the fire to Tzvi's field, and instead he dropped it. So, Kal Vachomer, the Shaliach should be responsible.
Okay. Because the Mishaleach never wanted that field burned. Right?
Or,
say, so, that's.
They send Bernard C's field, then he by mistake.
Enough with my order. I mean, there is a habamina that would make it settle. We talked about last time about, you know, a delivery truck hits somebody, then it's not the driver, it's the company. It's a reasonable thing to assume.
It's civil law, that's the case. That FedEx is always on the hook for these accidents. But that's also part of like the contract between the workers and the.
Yeah, but still, they're former FedEx.
Right,
you're not the CEO.
That's why, by the way, for many years, you were a contract worker. Okay. Right, for many years, you worked for the state of Israel. So much so that you had an office in the Knesset. However, you were not employed by the state of Israel, the Knesset. And part of this was because the state of Israel was interested in saving money, and part of this was it gave them indemnity. Right. If you did something, if you had your computer in the Knesset had hacked into wherever you want to hack into, right? So State of Israel's off the hook. It's your Koach Adam, it's your manpower company, whatever it was, right? So there's a difference between, right? But if you taka are an employee of the State of Israel and you do that, it's a different thing altogether. So the Sma, the Sefer Mi'irat Einayim, you know, the Sma lived in Krakow. You know Avi Baumel? Avi Baumel sits on the Sma's throne. The Sma was the Sefer Mi'irat Einayim. His name was Katz. I saw his kever in Krakow. You go to the kever. I forget his first name. He is 16th century. He lived in Krakow. So the Sma says Sma is Rosh Tevat Samech Mem Ayin, the Sefer Mi'irat Einayim, right? The enlightening of the eyes. So the Sma says that this whole idea of divrei harav v'divrei talmid mishomim, the logic behind why there's ein shliach l'dvar avera has to do with the kavana or the expectation of the mishaleach, the sender, when he makes the shliach to do the avera. So normally when you make a shliach, you assume that the shliach is good for his word. He'll do what he intends to do, right? Please go hang up this mezuzah for me. Please, here's $100. Put it in the pushka for matanot le'evyonim for Purim, right? You can count on the fact the person's going to fulfill the mission that was assigned. But when you make a shaliach for the dvar avera, no matter how wicked you may be, no matter how much you want to do this avera, right? You know it's an avera. You know it's something that's not supposed to be done. In our own lives, not me, of course, but somebody else might choose to do an avera. I've heard such things happen, right? Not in our community, right? But over there, somewhere else. People make choices. But I can't expect that you're going to be as crooked as I am.
Why not? What if I know that you're as crooked as
I am? But in a normal case, if I tell you, go do this Avera, right? Since I know that I can't force my will on you, and since I know that you are under the eye of heaven, right? And you know that this is an Avera, so I'll always have a doubt. Unlike the case where I say, here's $100, put in the pushka for Matan Levionim, I always have to assume that this person is going to have a conscience, right? This, by the way, is the subject of most great literature and theater and television, etc. Right? What's Crime and Punishment about?
Crime and Punishment?
No, it's not about Crime and Punishment. It's about someone who's done the most heinous act, murdered a mostly innocent and a completely innocent woman, and then develops a conscience. What's The Sopranos about?
I don't know, we don't get HBO.
But you're aware there was such a thing, right? You're a mafia boss, right? But you're having an anxiety attack. Right. Now, this is the subject of great drama. This is the human experience. So I send you to whack the rat. The Irishman. Right? The movie. To rob the bat, to whatever it is. I always have to assume that you're aware that it's forbidden and that you might have a conscience. Conscience. Right, so I'll always have. There's always that doubt. Will he come through? Right? Will you fulfill the shlichut? So, because that doubt exists or should exist, the shlichut can't work. Shlichut only begins; it only gets off the ground when it's based on the idea that I know that you are kemoti shlicho shel adam kemoto. You are like me. It's not a problem. That's the proof. Why do we say Me'ila is a case where yesh shaliach l'dvar avira? Because there's no matter of conscience.
So why about the porch? The guy was going to go, so you would...
He's responsible. Why is everybody so caught up in this? You're confusing the Havamin and the Maskana. La Maskana, ain't Shliach L'Dvar Avera.
No, because you're saying that if you ain't Shliach L'Dvar Avera, they're going to do a sin that they know they're going to do, therefore, the Shliach would never come. Right?
Yeah.
But if you're talking about something with Shogeg, then the Shliach would come. Because I assume that the Moshe is going to be able to take the torch across the town and bring it to the other guy. I have no reason that they have that idea that I would never assume that maybe he would really be a photo that he would do. Here, I can assume that. It happened to fall. So you would say, no, actually, the shtivu does fall because I assumed he would be able to do it. In this case, it fell, and so maybe it is on me.
It's not, the Me'ila was a case of an exception. This might be a case where you would say it would apply. Because I have no reason to assume it's not going to be a
fire. The machlokes. No, but it's, but in a normal case of Mi'ila, in a normal case of Mi'ila, there
nobody knows it.
Nobody, it, by definition, it's an Avera that's only can be done b'shogeg, and therefore there's no question of conscience, right? They're both unaware of...
But you said Mi'ila was a specific exception. You didn't talk about the case of the Be'ira as being a, another exception.
Yeah, but it's not.
But why not?
No, because it's not really an Avera. It's a case of damages, of who's responsible for damages that, that happen, right? So there's a machlokes in terms of what about the case... In the mafia movies, the Godfather knows that Luca Brasi is as committed to going and killing the bad guy as he is. There's no question, right? Because what if you know the shaliach is as crooked as you are? What if you know the shaliach is not concerned with divrei harav, divrei talmid, divrei hagodfather, divrei harav, divrei hagodfather, divrei mishomim, the Godfather, right? They're not developing a conscience, right? Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes, but he would have gone and he would have done whatever Vito told him. So that's a machlokas. In other words, there has to be a point where Divrei Rav Divrei HaTalmid breaks down, right? So the Ramah, we just mentioned the Ramah, Krakow, Afi Bamel, the Ramah says that if the shaliach was a known chote, he's a bad guy. Then taka shaliach l'dvar avera, right? Because the mishaleach knows he's planning on doing it. He can be counted on to carry it through. Ein shaliach l'dvar avera is in normal people, but with somebody who's a very committed sinner and the mishaleach, the hitman, etc. Particularly if he's being paid to do the other. The shach, on the other hand, disagrees with the rabbi, and the shach says that that. No, the Ramo. The Ramo says earlier I quoted this month. That was something else. So the Ramo says so the Shach disagrees with the Ramo, and he says no, that the shlichut is cancelled. Ein shlich l'dvar avira, and the Mishaleach is responsible. Okay. Pesach Sameach to everyone online, and we'll meet again in 3 weeks.